Welcome to the Phoenix Unlimited Podcast.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for downloading or tuning into the new episode of Phoenix MMA Podcast. This one is going to be a breakdown and prediction on the John Jones versus Ciryl Gane main event for the UFC that's tonight. So I'll give you a breakdown, my opinion of what I think, and we'll see if I can predict it correctly, and if you're, you know, see if this helps you out with what you think on the fight, and if maybe I'll help you with betting, but don't get mad at me if my prediction's off. And fights can be one of the coolest things about MMA is that there can be heavy favorites that they can get upset because you can lose in like 1 second, one punch, one kick, or somebody catches your neck for just a moment, you can get choked or knocked out, and you can be winning the whole fight. So it is it's a tough one. The underdog definitely can win, but they're still, you can still predict them. There are still clear favorites and underdogs. So John Jones, from everybody's predictions I've seen for the most part, he's been a heavy favorite. I watched the heavyweight panel, Frank Mir, Mark Coleman, Curtis Blaydes, but for the most part, all the heavyweights were basically giving it to John Jones on that panel. The only person that was giving him a little bit of credit on it was Daniel Cormier. He wasn't necessarily saying he thought Gane was going to win, but he was. Everybody else was really predicting John walking through Ciryl Gane. So I'll give you my breakdown on both of them, what I think, how both of them could win the fight, and I will actually make a prediction over who I think is going to win the fight and how I think it's going to happen. So let's go over. Let's go over John first, okay? So, ways for John to win, or let's go over some of his attributes. I think these are all conditions that if John's going to win, I think these will be, or I'll just go over my thoughts, like what I think will be conditions for him to win, and then some of the pitfalls, his pros and cons. John's really, really good at mixing up his striking and wrestling. People will call it unorthodox lots of times. He does do some unorthodox moves, but some of the stuff that people think is unorthodox, it's just a really good mixture of wrestling and boxing or Muay Thai. Like it's a good mixture of different martial arts together. He connects the dots between, he blends them very, very well, depending on ranges. Each martial art has these like cardinal rules or sins that you're not supposed to do. But when you combine them and mix them together, those rules don't completely stay together. There are things that you can't do in wrestling that in MMA you can do, and all the combat sports are like that when you mix it together. And it also goes in reverse. You can do things in MMA, and then if you just go to straight jiu-jitsu, you can get pieced up in a jiu-jitsu match because of the adjustments. They're just different sports. But John does that really well. He's a early innovator and adopter with mixing those things really well, like a smooth transition. So some of the stuff that seems unorthodox, I would argue that it's a blending that John's doing. But I would also, on the unorthodox side, my next bullet point I got is, he's a risk taker when he's in a flow state. And, when he hits that flow state, he does well at capitalizing, and it is taking a risk. Whenever you're offensive, you're always taking a risk. Whenever you try to do anything, you're taking a risk. But when John gets in a flow state, he doesn't play it too safe. He doesn't play too conservative. He will be, he is a risk taker. He doesn't get reckless and just wild, but he doesn't play it too safe. and that lends itself to dynamic finishes. If you see somebody like George St. Pierre, who, I mean, I love George St. Pierre. This is not me saying anything bad. It's really smart lots of times. But George would definitely play it more conservative and a safer strategy and win all five rounds. Even when there's some openings for him potentially to finish you, George, I would say, would be a fighter that's great. A pound for pound great of all time, but doesn't take the same risk that John does. And I think that's why you see John have some really cool finishes in previous fights. He's a good risk taker when he hits a flow state. I think honestly, I could be surprised by this, but I think from watching last night, I watched Ciryl Gane versus Tuivasa and Ngannou, and watching both of those fights, I think that I think John should be able to land his takedowns on Gane. I don't think it'll be a problem. Of course, going up a weight class is going to be an adjustment, but John has his entire career has been walking around anywhere from 220 to like 230, and he's been training with heavyweights. Heavyweights his entire career. Light heavyweights usually walk around like heavyweights and then they cut down to 205. But most light heavyweights are 220, 240, depending on the part of the season, and then they cut down to 205. Light heavyweights aren't walking around at 215, 220. They're not walking around 205 to 215 or something like that. It's pretty normal, 220, 240 to be a light heavyweight. And those guys, if you're 230 or 240, you're training with the guys that are 250, 270, 280, 300. It's not that big of a, there's not much of a weight difference. The same way that if you're a 150-pounder, you're probably training with 185-pounders all the time. It's pretty normal. Yeah, so the takedowns, I think John is used to taking down heavyweights. He's probably taken down better heavyweights when it comes to wrestling and takedown defense than Gane. The thing about the Daniel Cormier interview I listened to yesterday about Gane that didn't give me confidence when I heard that Daniel Cormier said that he had heard a rumor. He asked Gane about this. He said he heard a rumor that Gane doesn't train year round, and in the off season he's not working on stuff quite as much. And Gane denied it a little bit and said that he does build and train, and when he's not getting ready for a fight in DC, he said, "Yeah, that's when you actually become a better at skills. You get better at skills, not in a fight camp getting ready for a fight. It's in between the fights." And but then Gane, right after he said that, it was really with his broken English, it was a bit weird in the interview. But Gane did then say that he doesn't work like year round around the clock. So he kind of agreed or admitted to the rumor or something that he doesn't. He said that he said some guys train like crazy all the time year round, and he said, "I'm not that guy. I get," he said he just needs more personal time. He gets burned out. That's not a good thing. I mean, John is definitely has a psychopath work ethic, like just a nonstop, or obsessive work ethic. And, you have somebody who is physically gifted, super skilled and obsessive. You can't beat them part time. It's going to be tough to do. All the greatest of all sports are they're all obsessive, where it's a huge chunk of their life. That's how they get so good. You have to, there's nobody, you just like, if you're one of the younger people, or I mean, some of the, I've heard older people say this too, that so-and-so is just gifted. It's just talented. They're just that good. It's like, no, there's nobody that exists that practices 2 days a week, one day every other week, and is the greatest of all time in their sport. The greatest of all time. They are insanely obsessed, for like 20 years. And also, a lot of people forget, I think, John's wrestling background. John's been in combat sports before MMA, his MMA career. So he's been working on the art of war for, he's been obsessed with the art of war for 20 plus years. Yeah, so he's not just kind of... Anyway, that was... When I heard that interview, I was like, that doesn't sound good for Gon. But I've said this for years that the heavyweight division, and this is a known thing, that the heavyweight division is the lowest skill level when it comes to just skill of fighters. It's the lowest skill level. It's like lightweight is an insanely competitive, dense division. And there's been debate that high-level heavyweights would go to the NFL or NBA potentially, which that makes sense because you can get a high income doing that as well. Fighting is really rough on your body. That's part of it. I actually think that it's just that if you're a heavyweight, you have to choose to be technical, and ego training is pretty easy. Like, nobody wants to lose in the gym. Everybody wants to win. And if you're a heavyweight, you're just allowed to, I say, cheat a little bit more or lean on that weight if you're naturally one of the biggest people in the gym. So you have to force yourself to be technical. Because another thing I refer back to is a Kobe Bryant interview when he said that he got to the NBA. And when he got to the NBA, he realized everybody's work ethic. Everybody in the NBA said they were lazy. They had they just lazy. They went out and partied and they did stuff all the time. So he said, he was like, when I got there, I realized when I saw everybody's work ethic that they were lazy, there's a physical gift aspect when it just comes to your height and your wingspan, when it comes to genetics. Depending on your sport, definitely basketball, you got to be, I think the NBA's, I think for their scouting, I think their recommended minimum height requirement is 6'4". And I think, I remember when I read that, the first thing I did was looked up the U.S. population, male population, what percentage of the U.S. male population is 6'4" or taller. And I think it's less than 2%. So when Kobe got to the NBA and he said that, you know, it would make sense that he says there's a lot of the work ethic isn't there. And obviously not as lazy as somebody who doesn't exercise or play a sport at all. But when he's talking about professional athletes, but you got to think you're honestly, if less than 2% of the population of the country can qualify for the dimensions of the sport, you are going to have people that can get away with just their dimensions, their measurements, because it's such a small population that even qualifies. So I think it's a similar thing with heavyweight. There are heavyweights that get good. If a heavyweight is technical, they're obviously going to be the best fighter on the planet. Like, they're heavyweight or light heavyweight. Middleweight, 185 and up. Like, that's just with when it comes to mass. Middleweight, heavyweight, light heavyweight. Heavyweights could very well be the best fighters in the world. It's just, you just have to choose to be technical. You have to be deliberate. And then, this is also now that Kobe Bryant said that Shaquille O'Neal, if he wasn't lazy, would be the best basketball player of all time. To a normal person, they wouldn't think that Shaquille O'Neal is lazy. They wouldn't think that Shaquille O'Neal is lazy, but from Kobe's perspective, he thought he was. Okay, and we're back on the John Jones versus Ciryl Gane breakdown and prediction. I had to pause there if the last few seconds were me maybe stressed out. My daughter had a blowout on a diaper, and I had to emergency diaper change and in the bathtub. So, emergency session. So, all the young ones in the gym, or if you're listening to it, no rush to have your little ones, because that they're gonna come first. Whatever you're doing, they're gonna blow a diaper out sometimes. But that's just part of it. Gone. His work ethic that would worry me if I was betting on Gone. When I heard that in the interview, John has good footwork. He has good head movement. He has very good distance control. He has a slight reach advantage over Gon. John's had a reach advantage over all of his fighting. I believe he's tied with only Stefan Struve, which Stefan Struve is a good bit taller than John. Stefan Struve might be 7 foot tall or like 6'11 or something, but him and John are tied for the same reach. So John has an extraordinary reach. At light heavyweight, it was just ridiculous, but heavyweight, it's not as big, it's not as pronounced. Gone is the same height and their reach is close, so John won't have as big of an advantage of the reach advantage. He had a huge reach advantage over a ton of his early fights at light heavyweight on his rise. It's just like a shooting gallery. He could just blast people from such a far distance, and he could stiff arm. He gets a lot of eye pokes, accidental eye pokes because of his outstretched hands, but also to keep you away from him so you can't touch him. He doesn't have to rely on his head movement as much because he can use his arms as range finders or like stiff arms to keep you from getting inside on him. And then the fact that he's a very good upper body wrestler helps him a lot, so that when you rush in, if you rush in, then you're in a clinch position. It's like you're getting foot swept, you're getting thrown because he's good upper body. So he has a perfect build for the fact that he has good upper body wrestling. If he was a shorter, stockier guy, the upper body wrestling, like John's dimensions are an advantage for what he's doing. His mix of upper body wrestling combined with the extreme reach, learned how to use it and like maximize his frame, which everybody has their pros and cons of their frame. John found his, just found his. But he does have good footwork. He does have good head movement. That is an advantage. He might not, with gaining weight, might not have the speed advantage, but at least just who he's used to fighting. Gon's punches shouldn't be as fast as a light heavyweight's kicks as fast at the head movement. So, and John still has good defense. And he also has good head movement. Cardio is going to be a question, just because as you gain weight, your conditioning always is going to suffer. Has he acclimated to it? It's his first fight and being a few years off without competing or without fighting. So I don't think the nerves are going to be a problem for John. I think John actually is really, really low in trait neuroticism. So he probably has neuroticism, just a measurement of how much negative emotion you feel. I think it's probably what gets him in trouble with all the legal issues and stuff. I think that John, even when he should feel negative emotion or stressed out or anxiety, I don't think he feels it the same as the average person. I would say that from when he got arrested for the Vegas incident, where he was domestic, beating up his wife, his daughter called 911. When he was arrested, he was sitting down with his hands handcuffed behind him. I think it was five cops that had him arrested. And, you know, your normal person would be pretty stressed out in that situation, that moment. But the news story on it said that John looked at the five cops and was like, you know, what you want to bet right now? You uncuff me, you five against me, I win. So that's probably a time that you should be stressed out and anxiety should be kicking in. I don't think so. The ring rust, I don't think. I have heard John say that he was scared in one fight. It was against, he said he was scared or like intimidated against Quentin Rampage Jackson. He was worried about Rampage. I have heard that in an interview, but I haven't heard him actually say he was scared or really anxious against anybody else. But I'd say he's probably pretty low on trait neuroticism. So he's probably pretty resilient to stress and anxiety and negative emotions. I think it probably gets him in trouble. But is really adaptive if you're going to be an MMA fighter. But cardio, doesn't matter how confident you are, if your blood oxygen, your VO2 max, it doesn't care about your confidence at all. Anxiety will zap your cardio, so that is a positive that I don't think John will have to deal with. I don't think he'll have nerves that'll zap his cardio, But when you put on, you know, say 30 pounds, 20, 30 pounds of weight, it takes time to acclimate. Now, it has been a few years, and he's been putting the, he took the time to put the weight on. So, you know, we won't know until in just a few hours. We'll see. John has had issues. There has actually been issues in the past when he fought Ovince St. Preux. He had just come back from a heavyweight training, and Greg Jackson, his MMA coaches, they and Winklejohn had commented on that they'd noticed that he had slowed down from lifting weights so much and less martial arts training. But it's, you know, it's just a balance. It just depends on how John might have been lifting, not for speed too, or explosiveness. There's different ways to periodization. You can use periodization to get stronger and more explosive and faster and remain flexible, but you can do it the wrong way, and you can get slower and more sluggish. But gaining weight, no matter what, your cardio is going to be affected. You just have more mass that you have to move around. Your speed is also affected. So I would think that speed have John would have a speed advantage over Gon, but Gon's actually a pretty fast heavyweight, and he's just used to being in that body. Yeah, he has more experience of being at heavyweight. So cardio is still a question. We won't see until a few hours from now. Is John natural? So every fight, that's always going to be, and it's always going to be, is John going to pass the post-fight drug test? Is it, or a week from now is, you know, that's always going to be something with John. Is he taking a performance-enhancing drug? Is he going to test positive for a performance-enhancing drug? Is he going to test positive for cocaine or something else? You know, who knows? I believe one of his brothers tested positive in the NFL. It was just not, like, didn't get much traction, but John multiple times has tested positive, in and out of competition. So, yeah, will he be natural or will he get popped for, 'cause he can have a great performance, but if the second you get on with the fight, I know they do urine. I'm not sure if they do blood sample right after, but you do urine right after you fight when you step back. You know, could test, and then, and also the thing that they've changed the rules that people don't, not a lot of people know, they don't disclose when somebody tests positive anymore. And the reason why is they want people to have their due process. So if you test positive 3 weeks ago, you get to go through the whole system first. Now, that I would guess that didn't happen because the fight is still on, and they didn't cancel it, but things do get iffy with the headliners, with the UFC, and it gets really iffy. Example, Brock Lesnar, for his fight, with his last fight, his return fight, they, every other fighter has to go through a period of testing with USADA before they can compete. They just let Brock Lesnar bypass that. And Mark Hunt actually sued the UFC. I haven't seen the resolution from him, but Mark Hunt actually sued the UFC because the UFC, because they did not test him during that time, Mark Hunt said they didn't do the due diligence. Mark Hunt was being tested the entire time. It's been a few years, so my details are blurry on that, but I do remember that Brock Lesnar got a pass. He got an exemption on the testing to get back into the testing pool, but they did get a good amount of heat for that. So, but iffy things do get caught. But the other thing about natural is John on his ascension, or like his run, John was doing awesome. Now, I think the key was really in John is a great fighter. He is one of the best fighters of all time, but his height, reach, and combine it with he was fighting a bunch of fighters. It was a past generation. So, when you think about Shogun, Chuck Liddell, Dan Henderson, Chael Sonnen, they are a golden era of MMA. I love that era of MMA, but that John was coming in as that MMA. They were past their prime, and They were past their prime, and they were also short, and they were short for the division, and they were short reach for the division as well. So they didn't have the modern techniques, and they didn't have the modern dimensions to be at light heavyweight. It happens. Every generation, at some point, a new generation comes, and the new adaptations, new techniques, and also just everybody at some point, you get past the prime of your career. So you, when you have the young lion that comes in, that's peaking, and then you are going, you're on the downhill from your prime. If you haven't updated technically, you're not going to be able to keep up. Now, if you're on the physical decline, they're on their physical peak, and they have the most up-to-date techniques, and you're using outdated techniques, then it's a double whammy. You're getting hit. You got the physical depreciation and the technical depreciation. So I think that was a key to John's early rise in domination. Very similar with George St. Pierre as well, had a similar. But also, so after John tested positive, fights after that, after John testing positive, he didn't look as superhuman as he had looked. He looked very mortal. He still won his fights. He still looked good, but against Dominic Reyes, Gustafson, their first fight, Santos, and Ovince St. Preux. But so if you notice that, Gustafson, OSP, Reyes, these are all younger guys. These are not guys past their heyday. And also, if you look at their dimensions, you look at their height and reach, they pose John more issues as well. So to oversimplify, it's not this, but if you were to oversimplify it, you'd say John's fighting guys that are over the hill and they're shorter. They have less leverage because their limbs are shorter. Their reach is shorter, so he can hit them on the outside all the time. His VO2 max is better because he's just younger. Your VO2 max starts dropping at age 25. And he, at least for some of his fights, tested positive for performance-enhancing drugs. Chael Sonnen also admits that when he was on steroids, that when he fought John, he knew that John was on steroids. He wasn't natural. So, but to be fair, at that time, all those guys were on steroids. They were, you know, or there was very few, like a BJ Penn was natural. But so my point is, after John tested positive, when John tested positive, it looks like John might have gotten off gear. Or had to change something with it because he wasn't so superhuman. And then when he fought guys that were similar height and reach, they gave him big issues. That's with the natural side. John's not known as a heavy puncher. So I'd say John has like low punching power for the heavyweight division. But I don't think it's necessary. John does more damage, like his damage with his elbows and knees, his head kick, that'll be enough power. It's not that he needs to be a heavy puncher. It's just a factor. His oblique kicks, they're not necessarily heavy. It's things like, yeah, his spinning elbows when he breaks off the clinch, when he has an opponent backed up against the cage. If he sees an opening for a flying knee, he'll do it. And his oblique kicks, he does well. So not only the stiff arm of the hands, but his oblique kicks that he throws right above the kneecap. That can hyperextend the knee. So punching power is low, but he has all of those great striking tools. And then amazing wrestling. Some of the best, if not best, wrestling in the UFC. Or one of the best wrestlers in the UFC ever. And John could shoot, but I would say my prediction for his takedowns, a takedown I see that Gon throws all the time, an opportunity, is Gon throws a, when he's southpaw and John is orthodox. Yes, one second. Yes, one second. So, but Gon, when he's in southpaw, Gon will, when he's in southpaw, he throws a lead round kick, but lots of times he throws it like a really light jab, just a setup kick. There's not much on it, and I could see that. I could see the Ngannou fight gone through it a whole bunch. And it's not to set up, it's not power, it's just a scoring shot. It's adding to your stats, and it can be a setup for other things. It's making your opponent think, but there's not much power to it. The issue is that with something that's not a heavy leg kick, that's not doing a lot of power, or a big, you know, power kick or a head kick, it's just easy. That would be an easy one for John if he's standing orthodox to bring his lead hand down, catch that ankle, follow up with a straight right, and as he throws that cross, if he steps through with it, he has basically like a... There you go, popsicle.
No, I'm Spider-Man.
Okay, you're Spider-Man. I gotcha. You know, so... Yeah, delay. I had to deliver popsicle. So, but yeah, that lead round kick that Gon throws, I could see John catching that, catching his ankle. Okay, all right. So now let's go to the Ciryl Gon side. Let's go over what I'm thinking. Gon has a good against the tie in the Tai Tuivasa fight. Gon has a kick that I'm a fan of. From southpaw, it's almost like you're punting like a football, or you're kicking like kickoff, like a kicking football. It's not quite a teep. People will call it a teep, or it's not a push kick, but it's a stabbing with the ball of your foot, the forefront, just the pad of your foot to your toes. It's an extremely painful kick. When it lands, it digs into your stomach, it digs into your organs, and it does drain your cardio, and it makes it hard. It drains your cardio. And it's a very painful kick. Gon did that one really well. It's if you watch the Tuivasa fight, it's the kick that he landed over and over, and he hurt Tuivasa with before he finished him. It's the body kick. I think Gon can definitely land that and hurt John with that. I think that's a weapon that he can use, or that he will use. That's an option he has. Now, when he throws that kick, John could potentially catch it and go for a takedown, but it's still a good scoring shot that hurts. And an advantage for Gon, I could say, is that John fights orthodox and southpaw, but when Gon is in southpaw, which he throws the kick from southpaw, it lines up to John Jones when he's orthodox. That kick, that rear punting teep kick straight to the stomach of the solar plexus, and Conor McGregor also throws it, and Ankalaev throws it. A lot of fighters throw it now. Michael Chandler on Tony Ferguson, Anderson Silva, Vitor Belfort, that front kick, that front punting snap front kick thing. That's an option for Gon. I think you should use is going to open him up to the takedown, and that is going to be a downside that Gon has. His takedowns against he did score his own takedown on Francis Ngannou, but I believe Ngannou got 5 takedowns on him. And really the issue, the takedowns are one thing, but my issue is like him not heisting like up to a hand and up to a knee and then trying to build back up to his feet, which is what Volkanovski was doing against Islam Makhachev, which gave Makhachev so much issue, just not conceding the takedown. Gon has none of that. Gon, when he gets taken down, he goes to his back, and he has his jiu-jitsu, his guard is very bad. It's not good. It's very, very bad. It's inactive, and yeah, it's not good. I mean, the fight IQ is also going to be an issue, I think, for Gon, because John, I didn't bring this up, but John's fight IQ is very high. He's very smart. Yeah, he makes good decisions under pressure. Gon in that Ngannou fight, could have definitely won the fight, is on top of Ngannou and goes for the heel hook. But if he just stays on top, it's like you win that round. That was a big mistake to go for that. Now he does, after he misses the first heel hook attack, he does go for another leg entry from his back. But all the other positions, all the other times he's on his back, he's very inactive. He doesn't have a developed guard. Lots of heavyweights don't. His reach is close to John's, but it's still a little bit shorter. His power, I would be willing to bet that Gon's gonna have a power advantage when it comes to strikes, like punches, like even the kicks. I would think that Gon is gonna have a power advantage over John. But even though he has a striking power advantage, he doesn't really pressure hard. He's very much a stick and move, like technical fighter. But he does do well under pressure, like when, you know, when the first round Ngannou, which most people can't survive one round, like Ngannou just pressuring him, throwing bombs, people can't survive. And Gon handled it really well. He actually handled it well enough until Ngannou had to stop doing the power punches, the pressure. He was gassing himself out. And he did land some shots. They were grazing, but Ciryl Gane has very good footwork. He has very good head movement, especially for the heavyweight division. And some of the shots, I don't know if any of them landed square on the chin. Like Gane does a good job at slipping and rolling, so the strikes glide off of him. They don't land full power, so that's going to help him with his chin. But I think that he probably has a decent chin as well. Weight, I think the reason why I would say an advantage for him with weight is just because he's acclimated to it. He just has more fight experience fighting at that weight, so he's normal, he's used to it. We'll have to see that. That's a suspect with John. We don't know how to be. Height, they're the same height. I think they're both listed at 6'4". And we'll see when they actually step in. Like, if somebody's lying about an inch of height on those stats, that happens sometimes. But the reason why I give him that an advantage is just John historically has had a difficult time with people similar height to him or the same height. So that is good that he's not shorter. Like Daniel Cormier, I would think, you know, that's one of the issues with him. He's so much shorter than John. And I believe Stipe is shorter too. So Stipe, the cool thing in the interview is he said he wants the winner, whoever wins this. So that's so I'm excited to hear that Stipe does want it, but I think Stipe is maybe a couple inches shorter than John. I think that Gon has no problem with winning a 5-round fight, meaning winning off points. So I think that's a way that he could win the fight is a 5-round win, you know, 4-1 or 3-2. I don't think he has any issue doing that, and that's smart. He's willing to win that way, not too stubborn. And if he's backing away from John, it does make it it's more difficult to take somebody down that's circling and moving. They're circling and backing away from you. If they have really good cage defense, or wall takedown defense, if they can pummel for underhooks and they can use the wall to keep themselves up. Old school, it used to be, hey, push the guy against the wall, you can take him down easy. But now wall wrestling has developed past that, where if you blade your feet, you turn your hips, and you dig an underhook, you can actually use the wall to keep yourself up. And you use the wall to keep yourself up, and you can even, if you are taken down, you drop to your butt, you heist to a hand, you use the wall to crawl back up, so you can use, the wall can be actually a striker's best friend to stay up. More modern takedown approach, which it's actually what George St. Pierre did for his entire career, but it's reactive takedowns, which is when somebody strikes, when they step in to strike you.
Why are you coming
still
in my bathroom?
I'm doing a podcast. I'm checking on you, okay? Mama's on the way home. But a more modern takedown that you've seen in the last 5 years is the reactive, which George St. Pierre probably is the first person that really mastered that. But when somebody strikes, when someone is striking you, when they step in to throw a punch, you then level change as they step in to punch, which that's what I'm saying. It could be tough for John to shoot on Gon, because Gon is okay with throwing one or two shots and then moving left or moving right or moving back. And if he has been working on wall wrestling from the defensive side. So that's why I'm also predicting that John takes him down off of kicks. Is if Gon steps in, John could level change and take him down off a reactive takedown. But another good option is when somebody kicks to capture the kick and step through. Because every time you kick, you're vulnerably taken down, not just because they can catch your leg, but because you only have 1 foot posted on the mat and on the floor. So you're giving somebody a single leg, and they can run through you basically like a blast double when they combine it with punches. Yeah, I think there's potentially, so I think I could see Gon winning by points, by decision. I could see him hurting John to the body with that stabbing kick of the body. He also throws a good rear round kick to the body from southpaw. So I could see him hurting him to the body. And then that, I don't even know if he would try. Gon, though, is like, I don't know if he would necessarily try to finish John if he hurt him to the body. Tuivasa, he did step in, but like what got the dog to come out of Gon was that Tuivasa started brawling. And when you get clipped lots of times, it will cause, you know, you get an adrenaline spike and you go to war. But I think if he's in the driver's seat, I don't know if he will step in for the finish, or if he might just be content with hurting him and just picking him apart on the outside. And I think, of course, he can land on the button of John, like he just land on the chin. And yeah, heavyweight, everybody can get knocked out. And with me saying that John has lower punching power, it's just no matter what. When there's two heavyweights, two 250-pound men, 260-pound men, punching each other with that much weight, either one of them can get knocked out or knocked out with a kick as well. So, but yes, John also has a very good chin. So I think Gon has a good chin, but John also has a very good chin, but there's always that puncher's chance that Gon could land on the button. Something that I noticed that I would suggest for, like what my thing I would do or coach John to do would be to catch Gon's lead round kick that he throws from southpaw to your lead leg when you're orthodox to pick up some takedowns, easy entries to takedowns. What I would suggest for Gon to do against John Jones would be something I haven't really seen anybody do very, very effectively. And John isn't going to make it easy on anybody, but utilize low calf kicks and low kicks, like in the first two rounds, and oblique kicks too. So oblique kicks to the quad, low calf kick to the calf, inside and outside low kicks. But John, he has very good dimensions when it comes to his reach and his height, but his legs are always just a smaller part of his body, and his calves are a smaller part of his body. And also, John has a very mobile style. So as you do damage to the legs and the calves with the low calf kick and the low kicks, you can affect your opponent's mobility. So their upper body and their head becomes more hittable when their legs, even if you're tough, it just, you're, after you take enough, even with the adrenaline and the tough, it's not even a pain thing. It's that your legs, after they get hit, they just don't work as well anymore. They don't fire, and they're not as explosive the more they get hit. So that's a way you could slow down a guy who's mobile and, make him more hittable. My actual prediction. So what do I think actually is going to win? Who I think is going to win? My prediction is for John Jones to win. Why? So John is one of the best fighters in the UFC of all time. And he is coming back from a layoff, but he's coming back from a layoff. Ciryl Gane is 1-1 in his last two fights. You have one of the best fighters of all time returning to one of the lowest skill level divisions of all time. And the king or the champion, like, which everybody considers Francis Ngannou, Ngannou has been cut from the UFC and is not there. So John is returning against the person who's not, you know, the big boogeyman of the division. So this is a good fight for John to come back. He becomes a 2-weight class champion. What I think will happen, I think John, lots of times I keep hearing this narrative, people say that John wants to beat you in whatever you're good at, like he wants to beat you in wrestling, he wants to beat you, and I bet that's part of it, but John wants to win the fights. So when people say, like, he might just try to strike with Gon and then because he wants to beat him in striking, I don't think that's what John's doing. Like, you can't just go out and just wrestle. If you go out and just wrestle, they'll just sprawl on you, and you'll get gassed out, and you'll be tired. The end of the second round, you'll be gassed, and you'll be done. if you want to take your opponent down, you have to be able to strike. You have to, they have to respect your strike, and then you can set up your takedowns and the reverse. I think John's gonna, just mix up his striking, everything that John normally does, like, not necessarily like long punch combinations, but like, single one or two shots, his oblique kick, kicks to the body, and then he'll blend it with his takedowns. I would really look for John to catch some kicks, I mean, upper body as well. He's such an good upper body wrestler. He could push Gon against the wall and look for some body lock takedowns or some foot sweeps or some, like outside, inside leg trips. That could also be an option as well. Or look for his spinning elbow. If like he clenches off the cage and then does a spinning elbow, and then pairs and then hits a takedown after that. I think it will be, they are going to strike, obviously, and John's going to be comfortable with the striking. But he just will use his striking to set up his takedowns. Once he gets on top, I think Gon's guard is going to be so bad. Like, it's going to look white belt, you know, white belt jiu-jitsu bad. I think a narrative tomorrow is going to be, how could Gon be fighting for a world title and is, you know, and he doesn't know, like, blue belt level jiu-jitsu off his back. That's my prediction. And my answer to that is going to be, it's the heavyweight division. That's going to be my answer. If you're a black belt at 155, 145, 135, 170, congratulations, that's par. Like, black belt, like, nothing special if you're a black belt in jiu-jitsu. If you're a good black belt in jiu-jitsu in the heavyweight division, it's like, yeah, you can Frank Mir, Noguera, like Josh Barnett, it's like you can rack up a crazy amount of submission wins. And then my actual finish that I like my what I think it'll be, I could see like round three, John winning by stoppage that generates from elbows. John's really good on top of his elbows. Or a rear naked choke. I wouldn't think that John would go for an arm bar or a joint lock just at the risk of losing the position. But I could see a rear naked choke for sure. I could see a mix of both where he uses his elbows to do enough damage to Gon. Gon turns, curls up, maybe gets his neck, but also just elbows him. He curls in the fetal position. He elbows him until there's a stoppage or, you know, like hooks. Hammer fist and elbows until there's a finish. That's my prediction. You know, like I would say round three, stoppage by John Jones. That would be my actual prediction. So let's see if, you know, so I got my prediction out. We'll see if it lands or if it doesn't land. And I am going to my office. But we'll see if my prediction is on. And, if Gon wins, I'll be really excited. I like when underdogs win and people that are counted out. I don't think it's going to happen, but it will be huge, big stuff. If Gon wins, that will be a big upset. I haven't seen anybody actually. Well, I've seen one person. I've seen one person right now that's picking Gon, but everybody else is picking John Jones. So, but just a couple weeks ago, everybody I saw was going. Everybody was picking Islam Makhachev to dominate Volkanovski, and Makhachev still won, but it was much closer than expected. And if John wins, it's still cool. That's fun stuff, because if John wins, then you got John versus Stipe, which that would be awesome. But I want to hear more news about Dana White has said Ngannou will never be back in the UFC. And that would just be absolutely terrible, because the fight that I've wanted for years was John Jones versus Ngannou. Take my money, the pay per view. I'm buying it. That would be really, really cool. But let's see how this episode works out, or let's see how this pay per view works out. The whole fight card is stacked. It's an insane fight card. But it's exciting. The return of John Jones. Let's see. All right. See you soon.